Thank God. It's always a joy to come here. I appreciate the Lord letting us come again. It certainly is a privilege and an honor to be here and to see you folks again. Take your Bibles, please, and find Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6. I want to begin reading in verse number 14. The Bible says, "And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, 'It is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead.'" Boy, that's got to be a miserable life, a life of fear. "For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her." I don't think he should have done that. "For John had said unto Herod, 'It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife.'" Now, I'm sure he shouldn't have done it. "Therefore, Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy and observed him. When he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly." Father, have your way here tonight, and thank you for what you've already done in our hearts and in our lives. And God, for the preacher and for the preaching we've already heard, I pray, God, that you might bless this meeting this week. God, to help us not to interfere with it, Lord, or hinder it in any way. God, remove us first, I pray. God, you do a work, Father, in hearts and lives of the people. God, a lot of money, a lot of time been spent, and concern and burdens have been carried up and lifted up on behalf of this meeting. I pray, God, that you'd, Lord, bless it real good. God, we'll thank you for what you do now. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Would you agree with me tonight that it's all right if we have favorite preachers? That's all right. Amen. I think you ought to have favorite preachers. There's nothing wrong with having some heroes for preachers or preachers for heroes. Amen. I believe it'd be all right. Amen. I think it's better than having some of these other things our youngins is putting on their walls. Amen. I think we ought to tear down some of these race car drivers and get their pastor's picture and put it up in their wall, in their room. Amen. I mean, dear God, we need to have some, we need to get stirred up again. Amen. And fall in love with what's real in this world. And the only thing that's really worth anything in this life is preaching. Amen. That's the thing that's going to save our homes and save our hides. And hey, if we get any help in this life, it's going to be through preaching. And God uses the foolishness of preaching. I want to say tonight, I think old Herod here had a favorite preacher, and his name was John. He liked John. He enjoyed John. He liked to see John come by. He liked it when John came to town. I heard John's coming to town. They're going to have him down there at the First Baptist Church. We're going to go hear him tonight. And sure enough, John had come to town, and they'd get the crowd together from the palace and ride down to hear John. Hey, this handkerchief. When John preached, he liked it when John preached. He enjoyed John's preaching. I've seen some of you here too, amen. Over the years, you'd come in here and you'd get all excited over some preacher, amen. You'd wave your handkerchief, slobbering, spitting, hollering, and shouting, and roo-hoo, and run the aisle, amen. Bible said, hey, I'm just trying to show you something. Look, verse number 20, the Bible said that he observed him. He liked his preaching style. He liked to watch him preach. They can't nobody preach like John can. The Bible said he did many things when he heard him. I imagine he sat there and said, "You ever seen anything like that before in your life?" And I imagine when they passed the plate, he dropped a couple dollars in. I'm saying he got beside himself. He liked John. He liked to hear when John come to town. He liked it when John preached. Hello? Just nod right quick. I know I still got somebody to preach to. Amen? I'm telling you something. Hey, what would you call it? Bible said he did many things. I mean, you're only limited to so many things in church. I mean, what you going to do? You can raise your handkerchief and fly it. Or pat your neighbor on the knee. Amen. Bump them on the arm. Shout a little bit. Run around the room a lap. Or drop a dollar or two in. Most of us vote for the former. Bible said I'll tell you what, he liked John. He liked it when John come to town. He liked to hear John. Did I mention John was his favorite preacher? I want you to just get a hold of this thing. Understand. Man, he enjoyed coming to the tent meeting. Amen. He enjoyed sitting back there in that evangelistic meeting and listening to that Baptist preacher preach. Amen. Well, he had something about it when he opened up the Bible and started reading, the power of God just fell. And he'd stand out there in the middle of that river with locusts in one hand and wild honey in the other. He was doing one of them illustration messages. He liked them illustration messages. Can't nobody preach like John can. Then he cut his head off. Would you agree with me? John was Harry's favorite preacher. Would you agree with that? Would you agree with me that it caused him to do something when John preached? Amen. Something was different when John preached. Something changed when John preached. But he wasn't getting right. He never got it right with God. It wasn't repentance, amen. It must have been waving his handkerchief. It must have been shouting and hooping and hollering. It must have been running a lap, amen. It must have been tithing, because it wasn't repentance, amen. Well, let me show you something. I'm going to help you, amen. Look at Luke chapter 23. I'm about done. Y'all going to be shocked. Luke chapter number 23, I want you to see this. It'll help you and do you good. In Luke chapter 23, they're about to take my Lord and Savior and nail him to a cross. Amen? And in verse number 6, he's confronted before Pilate. And the Bible says in verse 6 of Luke 23, when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod. You see that? Who himself also, and I want you to get a hold of this, he also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, this is good, watch this. He was exceeding glad. He got beside himself. For he desired to see him for a long season. He wanted to see and call fire down out of heaven or something. I want you to get a picture of this thing. They're bringing my Lord and Savior up there. He's been sent away from Pilate. They're taking him to see Herod, and he's in shackles and chains. And Herod's sitting there in his office, and he's sitting there at his desk, got his feet propped up. And he's probably puffing on a Cuban cigar. And he hears them chains rattling coming down the hall. Amen. And he's got a guard on each side. And he brings him in there. And when Herod saw him, he was glad to see him. Amen. Is that what it says? Verse 8, and when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad. It was more than just glad. He got plumb happy. Must have been something in that cigar. He was exceeding glad. Watch this. For he was desirous to see him of a long season. You have no idea how long I've been waiting to see you. The Bible says, because he had heard many things of him. Where you reckon he heard them from? You reckon he might have been standing there that day when John throwed up his hand and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. He had heard many things about him. He had heard it from that Baptist preacher that he likes so good. And he wanted to see him come to town. And he got all excited when Jesus came in. And he said, man, I'm telling you, I'm excited. I'm glad you're here. Boy, I've been waiting to see you. I've heard a lot about you. I got about 150 questions. I need to get them answered. I'm going to find them. While I'm looking, you do me a miracle. And he goes and, let me find it just a minute. Here they are. And he gets out there and he says, first question. And he asks him a question. And the Bible says in verse 9, then he questioned him with him in many words. But he answered him nothing. Wait a minute. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, he didn't open his mouth. Herod's saying, well, maybe that one stumped you. Let me get another one for you. And he asked him another one. And he answered him not a word. Are you with me? I mean, maybe he might have went through that process 10 or 12 times. And each time, he stood there and answered him, not a word. I can kind of picture old Herod kind of getting biffed. He's probably a little upset. I don't know what you think you're doing. I don't know who you think you are. Can I ask you a question? Who was that he was speaking to? Who? Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? He's God. In other words, what you're saying to me is, Herod was talking to God. And God refused to answer him. Can I ask you a question? Who you talk to when you pray? Well, who do you talk to when you pray? God? Well, why ain't He answering you? You see, I want you to get a hold of this, folks. It'll help you. I want you to understand, here's a man, and he's frustrated, and he said, just send him back to Pilate. And they take Jesus and chains and he's going out of the room. And he starts down the hall. And Herod's sitting there in his chair. And he's sitting there looking at the wall and going, that idiot. Does he not realize I had the power to save his life? Don't he realize I could have set him free? They're walking him back down the corridor, and Jesus probably stops and says, "Hold it, fellas." He looks back and he says, "That idiot. Don't he realize I could have saved his life? Don't he realize I had the power to set him free? Why don't God answer your prayers?" I can tell you why he didn't answer Herod's. Can I tell you? Because somewhere back yonder a little ways, he went down to an old-fashioned tent meeting. And an old Baptist preacher named John got up, and he ripped and snorted, and he preached and slung snot and spit and hollered, 10 rows, that's pretty good, brother. I've got to work on some things." And he got carried away about halfway through the message, and he's preaching on godly sorrow versus worldly sorrow or something like that, you know. And he goes back out and he takes that big long finger and he sticks it in Herod's face and he says, "It's not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Get right with God. Get your heart right. Repent of your sins." And Herod answered him not a word. And he never moved. And he never got right. As a matter of fact, he couldn't get over it so bad, he had to cut his head off just to get rid of the guilt. And then he thought he got up from the dead. You're talking about a man that's running and miserable. And all he had to do was fix it. All he had to do was get it right. All he had to do was just obey God's word. He could have had Jesus in there, and man, they could have had a party. Are you hearing me? I'm talking, hey, let me bring it home now and we'll be done. I told you it's going to be quick. Think about this. I'm talking to somebody here tonight, and maybe last Sunday, your preacher got up in the pulpit of God, and he started ranting and snorting and preaching, and the high sheriff of heaven, the Holy Ghost of God, come down and knocked on your heart, and he said, "I told you to fix that thing." And one more time, you shunned him away. One more time you said no. One more time you said, I don't have time today. I'll do it next time." One more time the devil talked you into procrastination. One more time pride said, "We'll fix it when I get on my deathbed." Or maybe the preacher came to you 6 weeks ago. Maybe 6 weeks ago God said, "I want you to be a missionary. Go on a foreign field." And you never moved. You just sat there. Maybe God came to you, and maybe the Holy Ghost of God spoke to you 6 months ago. And the preacher was preaching, and the Holy Ghost came to you and said, "You need to teach Sunday school." Maybe 6 years ago, you were sitting in church, and the preacher was preaching. God came and pecked on your heart's door and said, "Hey, why don't you get that right about your giving?" I guess that killed the service. God dealt with you and dealt with you and dealt with you. You know what? You never moved. And the only way you can justify not doing what God said, you got to kill something. Maybe it was just last week's service. Anything that escaped that awful plague of having God beat on my door again. You know what's sad? The sad thing is, he's probably not going to bother you anymore about it. You know why? God talked to Herod and Herod answered nothing. Never got it fixed. You sitting here tonight and you wonder why God don't answer your prayers. Don't you think God don't know? Don't you think you're the only... Hey, I know how you feel. You feel like sometimes, most of the time, it bounces off the walls. It just pops off the ceiling and you can't get it above the roof. You don't know what's wrong. You didn't get out of church. You didn't go get drunk. You didn't commit adultery. You didn't go out and do some awful regret. You know something? I mean, we don't see things the way God sees them. As far as I know, I'm sure some of you preachers can straighten me out. But as far as I know, God didn't kill nobody for adultery in the Bible. God don't see it the way we see it. You ask everybody around. You say, I mean, go anywhere. Well, what's the worst sin you can commit? Adultery and, help me. See, I told you. No matter where you go, that's the two big ones. And God's never killed anybody. God's never put anybody to death, as far as I know, for committing those crimes. You say, what would he kill a man for? Picking up sticks. Disobedience. Amen? Just things, telling a lie.
Amen.
The things that you think you get away with every time you go to church. And every time you pray at night, and God just overlooks it because you're just ignorant all the time. But you know what the truth is, folks? Most of the time, and I'm going, can I help you? Would you let me help you just for a minute? I'll be honest with you. When I get in a state of mind like that, brother, and I feel like my prayers are not being answered, you know what happens? I quit praying. Don't look at me like that. That's why you quit. The reason you don't pray and the reason your prayers don't get through is because you don't think nobody's answering them. And you're right. Because God dealt with you about something in your life, whether it was 6 hours ago, or 6 days ago, or 6 weeks ago, or 6 months ago, or 6 years ago, and you never got it fixed. And now He's letting you live with it. Why don't we just get that thing right? You know, in here tonight, if you left God, if you dropped something on God and walked away, you got to go back wherever you laid it. Go back and right is still sitting there. Nobody has tried to carry your cross. It's right there where you left it. You know what we need to do, folks, as Christians? We just need to fess up. Wouldn't it be good to have, Brother Charlie, I want to say, if I don't ever get to say this again, this meeting does more for me than any other meeting of the year. I look forward to coming to this meeting. This meeting stirs my, you know what, this meeting gives me at least 6 or 8 good months. It pushes me right on through. I depend on it. You know what? If we don't get where we need to be, if we don't start surrendering some of those things like the brother preached, give them to God, and let go of those things that God's beating you to death about, or maybe He's not speaking to you no more because He tried and tried to deal with you and you just wouldn't listen. And now you know what? Now God said, all right, have it your way. And now you're doing that which is right in your own eyes. And things just ain't quite clicking. Why don't you just surrender? Why don't you just, hey, I don't want to be a hindrance to this meeting, brother. I want my heart to be clean. I want to come in here and I want God to meet with us. Boy, I thrive on experiencing the presence of God. What are you here for? What did you come for? Well, that's what we need tonight. We need the presence of God in our life, in our church. Some of you pastors here, I don't know you, some of you. Wouldn't you like just to take the presence of God back to your church?
and just flood your place with it? You can. But God dealt with you about 6 or 8 weeks ago about something. You better get it fixed.